speak to us, oh God. We thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Second Thessalonians. If you weren't here last Wednesday, we started 2 Thessalonians. And so we are in verse number 3 and verse number 4 tonight. I struggled to know what verses we would read and study together. I was just waiting on guidance from the Lord, and I believe we settled just on verse 3 and 4. Let me go ahead and say this. I think what Paul does in verse 3 and 4, he commends the church. And from verse 3 and 4, he transitions from commending them to encouraging them. And so that's what we will look at together. Tonight, I just want you to see how Paul is commending the church and recognizing the good things about them and the good work that God is doing in them. And then next week, we will eat, right? Then when we come again, we will look at how he encourages them. But let's look at verse 3 and 4. Let's read it. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." Paul commends them. Paul commends them. I want to look, maybe we'll teach this backwards tonight. Maybe we'll start at the end of verse 4 and go back to maybe the beginning of verse 3. He says to them, "In all your persecutions and tribulations." Do you remember 1 Thessalonians, right? We just spent all these Wednesdays there. We remember how it began. Paul goes to Thessalonica. He preaches, and revival breaks out. And that is where it is said. It is said in that movement of God that the world was turned upside down. Remarkable. Remarkable the way the Lord moved. He moved so drastically and so dramatically that the church was birthed and it was formed in this area. And it grew fast. And we know that as this was happening, there was a great persecution. The enemy immediately attacked. And we know that the enemy, it wasn't just pagans. It was religious people. It was Jews who claimed to love Yahweh, who claimed to serve Yahweh. They claimed Yahweh as their God, the same God that's doing the reviving, the same God that birthed this church. That's who is persecuting them. We go through 1 Thessalonians. We look, and of course we can't go back and say everything that's said, but we remember all the exhortations and the way he admonished them and as they were new in the faith. And what I want you to note is this right here. He has now wrote them again. And one thing that has not changed is their persecution and tribulation. Their persecution and tribulation. I am sure that this Holy Ghost-filled church that had a grip on the presence and power of God, right? I mean, they're seeing miracles. They're seeing people being saved. They're seeing the things that we are longing to see, right? That's what they're seeing. They're experiencing it. They're in the middle of that. And I have no doubt in my mind that them being young in the faith, that surely they had had prayer meetings. God, remove the tribulation. And God, remove the persecution. Wouldn't you probably think so? Probably. God, things are hard. Remove it. God, our enemy is vicious. The enemy won't relent. Halt him. You know, I'm sure they prayed. And yet, here they are. And Paul still references all your persecution and all your tribulation. One thing that has not changed is there's still a lot of persecution and tribulation. Now, I want you to know this, that's twofold. On one hand, there's persecution, and on the other hand, there's tribulation. And that's two different things. I don't think that Paul is just trying to use different synonyms to say the same thing. He's saying there's persecution and there's tribulation. Persecution is something that is specific. Tribulation is general. In other words, if you're persecuted, that means there is a persecutor, right? There's somebody attacking you. That is what persecution means. It is a specific term that you are being attacked by somebody or something. You're being persecuted. And they had a specific persecutor. There were people that were persecuting them. But they also had tribulations. And the word is thlipsis, and it means this. It means it's the word that means pressure or to constrict, right? Tribulation is times of pressure or constricting. Have you ever felt constricted? Have you ever felt like you were being squeezed and constricted by some difficult situation or some difficult circumstance or something you was feeling, something you was experiencing, whether it is physical or mental or emotional or spiritual, but something in your life feels like it is constricting you? I think we've all felt that, right? That's what tribulation is. It is just hard times that feels like it is constricting you. It's pressing you on every side. Have you ever felt like you've under the weight of pressure? Sure you have. Tribulation. That's general. That can be anything can make you feel like that. Any type of tribulation can make you feel like that. So they are experiencing persecution and attack from the enemy and the pressure of difficulty in situations. And I want you to note this. From the first letter to the second letter, it ain't stopped. And God could stop it, but God has not stopped it. Now that don't sound encouraging at all, does it? I think, though, that you need to be prepared for this. We may be headed into times where there is persecution and tribulation, and we may cry to God for Him to make it stop, and it may not stop. And the more you read your Bible, the more you may find that that's exactly what's going to happen. But I want you to know you won't be the only church that's had to deal with persecution and tribulation that does not cease. Matter of fact, you'll just be one of the last churches to get there. Verse 3 and 4, they're still in persecution and tribulation. Now, what I want you to see, even though God did not remove it, I want you to see what's taking place in them. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. It is meet because your faith groweth exceedingly, and your love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves, Paul says, so that we, these apostolic leaders, we ourselves glory in you. We glory. We boast about you. Let me tell you what God is doing in this church. He did not halt the persecution and the tribulation. But one thing he did do, he increased their faith. You don't always need your problem to leave. Sometimes you just may need your faith increased to deal with your problem. Amen. Their faith was increased. Now, let me try to say this word. Hupoxano, and it means to increase beyond measure. Okay? To increase beyond measure. Their faith is growing rapidly. He's saying, your faith is growing so fast we can't measure it. Your faith is growing so fast we can't even measure it. How fast is your faith growing? You don't tell me out loud, but I'm asking you. We've been here 10 years. How fast has your faith grew in 10 years? How fast has your faith grew in this last year together? How fast has your faith grew in the last month? Their faith was growing rapidly, he says, to where it could not be measured. In the context of being constricted by hard times and attacked by the enemy, sometimes God don't want to remove the attack because he would rather prosper you. He'd rather you flourish spiritually and you grow exponentially in the midst of everything the enemy does to you. And maybe sometimes fertile souls of growth is hard times and persecution. And I'm not saying God sends it to you, but God sure does have a way of using it to strip you of your self-dependence and your ego, in your self-sufficiency, in everything that causes you not to operate in faith, to strip you of your confidence, to strip you of your security, to strip you of your surety, everything that you lean on instead of leaning on him by faith. And that's okay, because faith that grows like that is where the joy of the Lord is and the peace of God is. And so I just want you to notice that Paul, he commends them about their growing faith, their growing faith. Look, I want you to be aware that we in times of persecution and in tribulation, that is coming. That is coming. And what we don't need to focus on is the tribulation or the persecution. What we need to do is measure our faith. That's what we need. You need to quit measuring your enemy, quit measuring your persecutor. You need to quit measuring your tribulation. You need to quit measuring whatever that constriction is in your life. And you need to start measuring your faith, because Paul was measuring their faith. And what he found is that he could not measure their faith because it was growing so much. God wants you to grow, church. God wants you to grow. God is not trying to better your situation. God is trying to grow you. God is trying to grow you. And the travesty in especially the American church, is we desire better situations more than growth. I would rather feel better today than grow greatly in God. What cost would you pay to grow at such a rate in your faith that it could not be measured? Would you endure? Would you endure tribulation and persecution to grow in faith? Their faith increased beyond measure. Look at this. Not only that, their love, every one of you, all toward each other, aboundeth. Pleonazo, to abound in number. To abound in number. Now, if the other word is to increase beyond measure, this just means to abound in number, that their love is abounding. It's abounding. Let's do this. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, he says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love." He says, look, God wants you to increase and abound in love toward another. That's what he says in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you." So he's saying that God wants you to abound in love, and he's saying that you're on the right track. You're on the right track. And by the time he writes them again, he says, "I've got to commend you of just how much you've grew in your love." I wonder if God would commend us today on how much we've grew from last year and in love and in faith. I wonder if he would. I wonder if we have. I think that the beauty of the tribulation and the persecution, or maybe the darkness of the tribulation and the persecution, it's so outshined by their growth in faith and this overflowing love that's in this church, that the persecution and the tribulation, it is kind of just taking the back seat, and it's not noticed because of the abounding love and the increased faith that's taken place in the church. I want you to know that God wants us to grow in our faith and love. Going backwards is not going to cut it. Staying where we are ain't going to cut it. God is growing us. He's given us everything we need to grow. And what I see about this church, why Paul commends them, is from the first letter to the second letter, they were different. They had grew. They had increased. And they were abounding. In Neesmith Church, from the first letter to the second letter, from this year to next year, we have got to grow in faith and we have got to grow in love. We have to. Not because I'm telling you we have to, because God is saying that we have got to grow. He is growing us. This is the will of God, the plan of God for Neesmith Church, is that we would grow in faith and grow in love. We can't be worried about our enemy and our persecutor, and we can't be worried about our circumstances and our tribulation. What we've got to focus on is growing in God. And the beauty of it is God is saying, look, enemy, you set the backdrop, you set the stage, you make it as ugly as you want. Maybe God is saying this, Jessica, you give me the ugliest canvas you got, enemy, and I'm going to paint the prettiest picture I can. Give me the ugliest canvas. Is that the right word, canvas? Is that it? Did I do that? Give me the ugliest canvas, and I'm about to turn it into something good. And that's what you see. And Paul is all over it. He's seeing it working in the church. He's seeing it working in the church, and he cannot help but commend them. Now he says this. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith. God takes a church that is surrounded by persecution and hard times, and he begins to grow them. Their faith increases, their love increases, and the Bible says, or he's commending them, saying that they are their patience in the tribulation and their patience in the faith, or in other words, their endurance. And when we see patience, we don't need to understand it the way that we've commonly understood patience, as if we sit there in meekness and in passiveness and submissiveness and in contention. You know, we're content with what's going on, and we don't get shaken. We just wait. That's not what it means to wait. It means that you endure and that you keep going. It is not this meek submissiveness. Rather, it's a heroic endurance that keeps going. Do you know what's going to keep you going? You know, what we're going to have to keep persevering and to endure everything that's coming and to keep going right through everything that's headed our way is we've got to have a faith that is growing and a love that is abounding. Somebody say faith. Somebody say love. Your yesterday's faith and your yesterday's love ain't going to be enough. And why would you want it to be anyway? When God has this infinite riches that you have access to, infinite riches of faith and infinite riches of love that we have access to, we can draw from any time that it is for us. Why would we be content in the same amount that we've always had? The endurance they have comes from a faith that increases and a love that abounds. The endurance that they have to deal with their persecution and tribulation is coming from their faith that is increasing and their love that is abounding. God is preparing us. He wants to grow us in our faith and our love, and from that will give us the endurance to deal with everything that's coming our way. Sometimes God gives you a word, and it's not so much for right now, but it's for tomorrow. He's given you something now that's going to get you through tomorrow. He said, I'm wanting to grow you today in such a way that it'll give you the endurance to deal with whatever comes tomorrow. Even though you don't know what's coming tomorrow, God says, I do. I know what's coming, and you don't worry about tomorrow. What I want to do is grow you today, and you will find that the growth you experience today will give you the endurance to persevere through tomorrow. And Paul commends them. He says, I see your faith, and it's growing rapidly. I see your love, and it's overflowing everywhere. And that's why you're enduring all this stuff that you're going through. And Paul says, let me say this, and then I'll go back to verse 3. And he says this, we glory in you. We glory in you. What is he saying? He's saying, we're boasting of you. In other words, Paul is saying this. He's saying, look, you don't even understand. We've been telling people about you. He said, I've been over here ministering in other churches, and I've been telling them about y'all. They're constricted. They're in tribulation. The enemy's coming at them, and they are persecuted. He said, but let me tell you about that little church. That little church is growing in their faith like you wouldn't believe. You can't even measure it. And their love is overflowing, and they are enduring right through everything that's coming their way. This church has become a shining example to the other churches, and God wants us to be a shining example to the other churches, and that may mean that we got to go through some things. It may mean we got to go through some things. But God will give us the growth to deal with the things we're going to go through, so that we will be an example of His glory to everybody else. He commends them. He says, I'm proud of you. You're growing in faith. I see it. You're growing in love. I see it. Your endurance. I see it. I see your tribulation. I see your persecution. And I just want you to know that I thank God for you. And I've been telling people about you, the glorious example that God has set in you. But a lot of the church would just rather be delivered from a hard time than to be a glorious example to a dark world. And which one you're going to pick? This church, the persecution and tribulation was there, but they were the shining example. And he says, I thank the Lord for you, brethren. I thank God for you, brethren. And sometimes when it comes to church, the constricting, the squeezing in life and in hard times and the attack of the enemy, and when we begin to come together and trust the Lord, and all our false securities are gone, and everything that we thought we could count on is gone, and everything about myself I was confident in has been stripped from me, and I have been completely humbled and stripped of my pride, and I have no strength in my own. When we find ourselves there, and the only thing I can do is lean on God and lean on you, I find growth in me. That's where a lot of this growth has come from. And my love for you, that is where it's come from. And for me to be able to say how I thank God for you and mean every word of it more than you know, that's where that's come from. And for me to be able to boast about my church or this church and brag on how God works in you, that's where that's come from. And for me to cross the line on telling a story about my sickness because I feel like I'm talking to my real mama or my real brother, that's where that's come from. My faith family, for us to operate and function like a real family with an overflowing love in this place where we are growing together, on my end has come from some tribulation and persecution. And I thought, my God, I would never leave there and go over there because I would have to start that all over. It's took us 10 years. 10 years. And I couldn't go over there and have this spiritual bond and unity and growth and love and dependence upon one another that is so real. It would take so long to get there. Just like if another guy come in, you wouldn't have it with him. It would take time. It would take so much time. I see where God uses the tribulation and the persecution to grow your faith and to overflow you in love and to cause you to look at each other and feel for one another like a brother and a sister and to find yourself praying at times, God, I'm thankful for her and I'm thankful for him and I'm thankful for that church and God, I really can't wait to go because I love them and I'm thankful for them. I don't go to church service on Sundays. It's been years since I've went to church service. You understand that? It's been years. I show up with my family and we meet with God. That's where I'm at. And that is the atmosphere, the ecclesia. This is why you cannot grow like this spiritually, going rogue as a solo in life as a saint. You got to be in the church. You got to be in the assembly. This is why just being a Christian and watching it on TV will never cut it. Just reading a book, it will never cut it. Because it is in the atmosphere, the environment of ecclesia, church, in which you grow and I grow. God wants us all to grow, but he don't want us to grow in isolation. He wants us to grow in unity. You understand? Your greatest growth as a believer, it's not going to be in isolation. It's going to be in real unity as the church. Now, it's something that you've got to do on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in your alone time with God. But it's also going to be set in a faith family, the body of Christ, in which Jesus is the head. I didn't have a clue really how I would walk through these three verses. I just got here and thought we'd go backwards in it so that you could see. It is like I see in this, when I thought about teaching it, verses 3 and 4, the reason why I started backwards, it's like I see from the persecution and tribulation this fountain springing forth from tribulation and persecution, in which faith is increasing and love is overflowing, and the church becomes a family, and they love one another and they're thankful for one another and they boast of what God is doing in one another, springing forth from the tribulation and the persecution. And only your God can do that. Only your God. If you go back and pay close attention in the Bible, God always springs forth greatness out of something terrible. It's always happening. Always. Always. You name me the most impressive thing. You can start at Genesis and you can go to Revelation. You name me the most impressive thing you can find in that Bible, and I'll show you a few pages earlier where it's coming from something terrible. Absolutely. Absolutely. We can talk the Red Sea parting, the plagues, and I'll show you something terrible that preceded it. Show me characters in the book. We can go on and on. Right? That's just, I don't even know why we get so bent out of shape when we see trouble, persecution, tribulation coming. Because that's always with the fountain of His glory that's greater than you can imagine always springs forth from that. And that's your God. Somebody say amen. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. In verse 4. Just whenever, Brandy. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Somebody say, well. God, we thank you tonight. We love you tonight. You're so good. Lord, I know there's people in this building that's going through hard times. I know that. Lord, there's people in this building that's attacked right now under persecution. And Lord, I know, because you've been so good to tell us that there's more tribulation and persecution coming. But I'm thankful, God, that through it, that you will grow us, you will cause us to increase and abound, to love and be grateful, and to operate as a family. In the presence of God, in your presence, O Lord, we thank you. God, I pray you bless everybody here tonight. Again, meet their needs. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do Sunday and every day in between, now and then. We ask these things and we call them done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed, and I'll see you Sunday.